This is part 8 of our series in Daniel. We've been in this for 8 weeks. We will be in it for a total of 12. And we're just going chapter by chapter. So if you have missed any of it, good news is you can read the first 8 chapters of Daniel relatively quickly. And you can catch up through that. I hope you have continued with it. I know some of you have decided, hey, I'm going to go through Daniel on my own as well. And that's always a good thing. And so we have just been simply looking at the sovereignty of God, how he's in control, how he's got this, and how he is bigger than big and closer than close. And as we go into chapter 8, we're now getting into the stuff that is less biographical and more apocalyptic and all of that. And so we're going to be unpacking some of these visions and some of these prophecies and stuff like that. And part 8 here, chapter 8, I want you to think about something in particular that relates to all of us. All of us have encountered or are encountering some level of emotional fatigue. It comes for everyone. None of us are immune to emotional and mental fatigue, especially in the past 3 or so years. We've all felt it. Most of us are tired of talking about it, right? It's worn out a lot of people, and it's real. And I think when we experience emotional or mental fatigue, here's what can happen. It can kind of narrow our perspective a little bit, right? Because you get tired of it, and you just are like, man, I just want to get through this, or I want to get past this, or I'm sick of this. And it's hard to see kind of beyond that at time, and we get a little narrow with our perspective. Well, Daniel 8 speaks to this. And this is something that they saw, Daniel saw, that we're going to unpack. And so I just want to steer the boat there this morning. So would you just bow your heads and let's just invite God to reveal his truth through his word today. Lord, thank you that this morning, no matter what we feel, no matter what we're experiencing, no matter the fatigue or whatever it is, your word remains the same. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we just thank you that we can lean on that in a time and in lives in which things are changing all the time, and there's something new all the time, and we get worn out all the time. You never do. You're always the same. Help us to kind of just even get a glimpse of wrapping our head around the fact that you don't get worn out. You don't get fatigued. You don't roll your eyes. You are good. And so as we walk through chapter 8 today in Daniel, Lord, would we see how something that happened so long ago is still so important today? Thank you for that, Lord. And we ask this in your name. Amen. So throughout the first 8 chapters of Daniel, you obviously can glean a lot of wisdom from it, right? There is tons to take. By the way, this last week I uploaded my second post-message follow-up online. Okay, so we're, 2 out of 8. Thank you for that. I appreciate that clap. I might do another one. I don't know. But there's a lot you can glean regarding perspective and struggle. I mean, Daniel faced struggles beyond anything that any of us in this room have ever faced. Dare I say, will ever face. There's so much that we can take away from that. And I think when we think about struggle, it's usually related to triumph, right? What do I mean by that? Let me use one of my favorite illustrations. Sports and athletes, right? Something that about half of you appreciate when I talk about, okay? Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Mariners are in spring training right now. Yeah. Yeah, the quest for glory, it's upon us. You think about athletes, though, and as we're talking about struggles, what separates the great ones oftentimes is not necessarily that they are more gifted. Yeah, that comes into play. But you hear them talk so much about what separated them was the work they put in, right? They will work at their craft. They will work at what they do. And this really applies to everything that we do. Whatever you want to pursue, the more work you put into it, you're going to have a better chance of, in a sense, being greater than the other person at it. When it comes to athletics, though, it comes to sport, everybody wants to win, right? I've never met a single person that when they entered into it, unless they're trying to throw away the season for a good draft pick or whatever, but you don't usually meet them like, yeah, man, I just really want to lose today. can't wait to lose. Man, let's lose, right? Let's. You're not hearing that. Like Pete Carroll, I don't think you've ever heard Pete say, lose the day, right? Like that's not his mantra. Everyone wants to win, but not everyone wants to persevere. Not everyone's willing to put in the work. Not everyone is willing to fight through adversity. And for you and I today, it could be any number of things. It could be parenting. It could be school. It could be the dreams that you feel like God put in your heart, and maybe those things just have not happened for one reason or another. Maybe it's life pursuits. Maybe it's your faith. Those things where you have, man, you want to persevere, and you want to, but it's hard. But when you're prepped for adversity, you start to develop a right mindset. And that right mindset gives you the perspective to both persevere as well as be successful. And that's what we see here in chapter 8 of Daniel. Throughout Daniel, he gives us a greater perspective. We get a window into how he lived his life. And you can see some incredible lessons that you can apply immediately. I mean, it's plug and play from Daniel. Daniel 8, these apocalyptic writings that we start to encounter here, that we read, are intended to elevate the perspective of the people in exile beyond what was happening in the here and now. Daniel wanted them to see, and God ultimately wanted them to see through Daniel, there is more than what you're encountering, which would have been just mind-bogglingly hard to grasp. I mean, you have been taken in as slaves. You are in exile. Everything that you believed in is not only being challenged, but it's being said, hey, if you still do this, you're going to die. And yet God is saying, but no, there's more. Like, I know you're in, but there's a greater perspective. Like, that would have been hard. And yet that's what we see here. And I think at times in this series, throughout the messages that I've given you, I've kind of gone out of my way to explain how what we're talking about might appear kind of weird, right? Especially when you get into the apocalyptic. There's some things that you're like, this sounds kind of odd. This sounds a little, but it's not. It's just usually misunderstood. On the surface, Daniel 8, if you were to just quickly read it, you didn't know any of the context, you just read it, it'd seem a little weird, right? Daniel 8 would not be one of those chapters where if somebody was thinking about following Jesus, they'd be like, hey, go read Daniel 8. There's more to it. If you just read it and don't pay attention and don't understand the greater context, it won't make a whole lot of sense. Because here's what we see in Daniel 8. Daniel gets a vision about a ram and a goat facing off. Just your average day on the farm, okay? The ram has two horns, but is destroyed by the goat who has one horn. One horn is broken off the goat, and four grow in its place. Just normal stuff, right? Then there's an extra one. There's an extra horn that grows. So, like, if you were just to read that, you'd be like, this makes no sense to me. What are we talking about here? So lots of stuff that might seem a little crazy, might seem a little weird. And that's just the first half. Now, just quickly, FYI, scripture is never crazy, just so you know. God's word will never be crazy. It'll never be. People can be with their interpretations, but scripture is never crazy. In the second half, Daniel starts interpreting what he saw. And I want to pick up there in verse 23 through 27. Again, this is a big chunk like we looked at last week, so stay with me. But Daniel 8, 23, if you want to turn to it in your Bibles, you can. Otherwise, you'll see it on the screen. It starts with, in the latter part of their reign, or as what you'll see, says, at the end of their rule. And what he's referencing is the reign of these kingdoms. And so the horns on the goat represented the kingdoms. So let's go into this. Verse 23, at the end of their rule, when their sin is at its height, a fierce king, a master of intrigue, will rise to power. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause a shocking amount of destruction and succeed in everything he does. He will destroy powerful leaders and devastate the holy people. He will be a master of deception and will become arrogant. He will destroy many without warning. He will even take on the prince of princes in battle. But he will be broken, though not by human power. This vision about the 2300 evenings and mornings is true. But none of these things will happen for a long time, so keep this vision a secret. And then verse 27 says, "Then I, Daniel, was overcome and lay sick for several days. Afterward, I got up and performed my duties for the king, but I was greatly troubled by the vision and could not understand it." So there's plenty here that we could unpack, but I want to look at a few key things here. We could look at historical stuff, we could look at literally and theologically and things like that. But there's three key things I want to pay attention to. And here's what I know is running through some of your heads right now. You're thinking in your mind, "Dustin, last week you promised there would be notes on the chairs for me to take notes on." Yeah, I know you're thinking it. I apologize. Did I actually promise it or did I just say it? Because I'm a parent of four. I know not to promise things. So anyways, next week there will be, okay? I don't promise. Three things that we can see from Daniel's greater perspective. First two will not be that encouraging. The third will be. First one is this: evil is real. Evil is real. If you follow Jesus, if you live in this world, you have discovered evil is real. It's not reserved just for the movies. It's not reserved just for television. It's not just something you read about in books or hear about on podcasts. The landscape of our world, both in the past as well as in the present and into the future, there is an ever-present darkness that exists. It's there. It's real. There's a diabolical force on earth, if you will. And I don't think as a logical or rational person, you can look at the world, see what's happening, and you don't have to look too far, and not see evil. Mass shootings, sex trafficking, genocide, wars, certain political movements, certain agendas. You don't have to go too back in the history books. Slavery, an attempt to eradicate the entire Jewish nation, terrorism. This is all a byproduct of evil that exists in the world. And the thing is, here's why this isn't talked a lot about in the church. It's because it can be kind of uncomfortable to talk about these things, right? Like, nobody wants to come to church and talk about evil. Nobody wants to come to church and hear about, oh man, evil. Oftentimes, we don't even want to acknowledge that it exists. And one reason is because sometimes we can have a little bit of a false sense of what evil is. The most simple example of this would just be, you know, we all grew up watching certain cartoons, right? And you would have a character in the cartoon. I'm blanking. It's okay. I'm almost 40, you know. So, anyways, thank you for that. Cartoons. Back when, you know, you'd have the protagonist, and he's wearing the little red, devil outfit, and he's got the pitchfork and things like that. And so sometimes there's just a misunderstanding of like, oh, well, like evil exists, but it's like this cute thing or whatever. The theologian Mark Turnage once said this. He said, "We must understand that evil is part of the biblical worldview. It's a part of a biblical grounded faith worldview. From the Garden of Eden all the way until the end of time, in the book of Revelation, evil is highlighted. It's throughout it. Jesus, he faced temptation directly from Satan in the wilderness for 40 days, which, by the way, that is the motivation for Lent. It's the inspiration. He faced Satan 40 days before he launched his public ministry. In Matthew 26, Jesus encourages his disciples, keep watch and to pray with him to avoid falling into temptation. Well, guess what? Good stuff doesn't tempt you. Now, it can, but he's not referring to that here. Temptation that he's referring to, this is only coming from that which is evil. In Luke 22, tells us Satan entered Judas before he went to betray Jesus to the religious leaders. fact, Jesus said, the evil one desires to have you, but I have prayed for you. Part of the vision in chapter 8 is just showing a natural struggle that we are all in the midst of. We're all facing it. What would be very real oppression, but it's transposing that natural struggle to the supernatural struggle. What Daniel is doing here is he is elevating this perspective. He's showing a greater perspective that exists regarding the struggle that is happening, where the fight really is. Everything he's describing represented the struggle between kingdoms and darkness. In the first half of Daniel 8, there were things like the daily sacrifices were taken from God's people. The Babylonians threw off their life. The Jerusalem temple was desecrated. Bad stuff, right? The greater point is that what God was revealing was bigger than the present day struggles that they had all walked through. The struggles that exist both then and now, they're not meant to be minimized. Like, this is not me saying, hey, the things that you are facing right now, or your family's facing, or your friends are facing, or any of that, like, that's not that big of a deal. No, no, no. That's a very big deal. If you're facing struggles, God, he's not a God who doesn't care. One of my favorite things about Jesus when he walked on earth, he obviously was proclaiming a greater message, but you know what else he did? He fed a whole lot of hungry people when they were gathered around him. He healed people. Right? There was a woman who had a bleeding disorder for her life. That's what she'd lived with. He heals her. Like, he cares about the practicals as well. God is not a God who doesn't care. Daniel's vision isn't meant to minimize the struggles, but it is to show a greater perspective. And the struggle today is far greater than any agenda that we might be fighting against. It's far greater than any kind of economic struggle or political struggle or anything like that. Now, we should be absolutely engaged in those things, don't get me wrong, because they do impact us. They impact the next generation. God is calling us to engage in those things, and yet there is a greater perspective we should have as well. Ephesians 6, Paul tells us, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Paul is simply letting us know there is a struggle that is happening right now, a struggle that we don't see. It's in a different realm. Evil is real. There's a greater fight. The second thing is this: God's people will suffer. It's going to happen. It has been happening. It will. If you're waiting for the encouragement this morning, it will come. I promise. Okay, stick with me. I know that you didn't come to church wanting to just have your life ruined, all right? Daniel 8:24, this is what he said. He said, he will destroy powerful leaders, and what? He will devastate the holy people. That's a heavy verse. And there is a common question that maybe you've thought of, maybe you've asked, others have definitely asked. It's a very common question. Why do bad things happen to good people? And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time unpacking that from a theological standpoint, but one part of the answer is obviously we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We were born into it. We've all come up short, and we all need God's forgiveness on a regular basis. Sin is an ugly thing, and it does ugly things. When we suffer, when we go through bad things, what it can do is it can cause kind of a reevaluation, can't it? It can cause kind of a perspective shift. It's the crisis of faith that Daniel's contemporaries faced. Unlike the prophecies of Jeremiah and Isaiah and Amos and others, the prophecies were simply, I'm summarizing it here, this is what you would read. It would say, hey, be righteous, do what's right in God's eyes, and you won't see his wrath. You'll be okay. The problem that we see here is that they were facing evil. and things they didn't necessarily bring on themselves. They were doing what was right, and yet God still allowed this. So the difference between an evil enemy and what I've brought upon myself versus evil around me and what's being done to me. It's not uncommon, and maybe you've thought this, you've definitely met somebody who has. It's not uncommon to think that, well, if I do good, or if I am good, or I try to help as many people as possible, I will shield myself from suffering. If I'm just a good person, I'm going to be okay. The thing is, if you believe that, and especially if that's attached to your faith, if you believe that and suffering does come along, because it will, it creates a crisis, doesn't it? If your faith is not biblically rooted in a true understanding of what this means, you will face crises when challenges come your way. Jordan Rice, he's a pastor of a church called Renaissance Church in New York City. He said this. He said, sometimes we don't have faith in God. We have faith in what we want God to do. But he says this. He says, suffering burns off the impurities of our faith. I want you to take a little journey through time with me. Think back to your childhood. It's okay if you laugh. I want you to think about this, though. I want you to think about a time when your parents were trying to teach you a lesson, and maybe it was attached to some sort of punishment or something like that, but they're trying to teach you a lesson. And you as a kid, and we've all been there, my kids are there in the midst of it. It's persecution, right? There, you're trying to teach them a lesson, and it's like, Dad, why are you bringing this kind of suffering on my life? My son has a very low voice, by the way. I don't know. Oftentimes, right, when a parent does that, you're trying to show them a greater perspective. You're trying to teach them that there's more, right? There's a lesson I hope you're learning here. The thing about suffering, sometimes in the moment of it, in the moment of the challenges that you're facing, in the moment of the trouble, sometimes we don't have the capacity to really understand it there, do we? Because you're in the thick of it, and it's hard to see what else could be going on. Sometimes you just got to be a little further removed from it. There needs to be a little time that's gone by, or you need to, in some form or fashion, you have to disconnect from it to a degree, sometimes to really understand what's happening and get some clarity. In Romans, Paul says this. He says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. There are just simply some things right now that we won't understand in the moment for one reason or another until God's glory reveals it to us. So those are your two just really feel-good things. Here's the third one. This is the good news. No matter what, God will prevail. He'll prevail. If we go back to Daniel's vision, several kingdoms are represented here. The ram would represent Persian Empire, modern-day Iran, Iraq, Syria, parts of Egypt. The one big horn was, it's believed to be Greece, Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, he died at the height of his power. And if you're wondering how high that power was, it's pretty high. Four of his generals split up his kingdom, and that is the four different horns. Then there's the little fifth horn that grew, prospered at everything, and threw truth to the ground. All these kingdoms, dominant at one time or another, plenty of power. They all wielded it. They all had it. Here's the thing. Throughout the Old Testament, there are several kingdoms that stood against God's people, right? You can read about it all over the place. Kingdom after kingdom, ruler after ruler, standing against God's people. Even just think of Rome. When Rome was at its peak, nobody thought Rome would ever collapse. How could Rome ever collapse? That power could never fall. Daniel 8:25 says, yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. See, here's the deal. Again, we just keep coming back to this. No matter what happens, God is in control. He is and he always will be what? There we go. Sovereign. All right. He's got your back. If you ever are wondering, like, man, I don't feel like anybody's got me. God's got your back. He's in your corner. And he will one day bring an end to the wickedness that we see. That's the message that Daniel is communicating to his people. Hey, someday, one way, I don't know when, God will bring an end to this. He's still in control. He's greater than all of this. He will prevail. And this is what I like. We aren't just left empty-handed either. Along the way, guess what you have? You have access to a supernatural strength, supernatural weaponry. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. If you and I are going to stand firm, which newsflash, we need to, and if we're really going to fight back against evil, which newsflash, we need to, if we're going to persevere, which we have to, there is no economic power that is going to win that for us. There's no dollar amount that's going to bring us victory. There's no policy. There's no ideology. There's no good thought that's going to defeat evil. They will help us address problems and engage, but ultimately they will not defeat the evil we're talking about. The reason why is because we don't push back against darkness in the way that the world would say we should. Instead, you and I, beginning today, need to tap into and access the power that we have through God, through Jesus Christ. We need to be equipped by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask that the worship team comes up. I'm going to close in a song in just a moment. To this point, we've walked chapter by chapter through Daniel. And we've seen a lot. Daniel has been through a lot. Exile. Taken as a slave, forced into a foreign culture. His name was changed. Attempts have been made to change his religious convictions. He's been forced to serve a king who doesn't even care about anything that he believes in. Attempted assassination plots, very real persecution. And on top of that, there's visions. There's interpreting dreams, disembodied hands on the wall, just writing. I mean, just like, think about Daniel's life up to this point. Like, take a nap, you know what I mean? Just a lot. By the time he's in his 80s, how could this not have weighed on him? How could that life not have been heavy? How could this not have taken a toll, no matter how committed he was to God? And this is what we read at the end of chapter 8. He says, "Then I, Daniel, was overcome and lay sick for several days." And then he says, "Afterward, I got up and performed my duties for the king. But I was greatly troubled by the vision and could not understand it." This was a lot for Daniel. It was more than he could handle, in a sense. And he was exhausted. He was worn out. You and I, and you know this, everyone in this room has lived long enough to know this, we oftentimes find ourselves in situations where we're worn out. Maybe you're in that one right now, and you're just worn out. You're tired. You're exhausted by what's happening around you or what you're experiencing. But through God's grace and through God's strength, here's the reality, we have to get up and we have to carry on. We just have to. That's what Daniel did. He's sick, he's tired, and yet it says, eventually I just got up and kept doing the king's duties, even though I didn't know what was going on. How does Daniel do that? How does he keep going with the king's business while carrying the weight of these visions? He's the one that's supposed to be able to interpret these dreams, and it's beyond his understanding, right? Have you ever had a job like that where you're like, you're supposed to be the guy? You're like, yeah, this is, I'm not going to tell anyone, but I don't really know what to do here. That's hard. And we're just talking about like spreadsheets. Think of what Daniel had to face. How does he do that? Well, he was able to keep going because you know what he had? Yeah, and this might hit you. Like, whoa, he had a greater perspective. If you're wondering, like, where did I hear that? 10 minutes ago. He understood there was a greater struggle happening that was beyond his own power. Daniel was a human being. There's only so much he could do. And Daniel could step back and proceed in the right manner because he had that greater perspective. You know how freeing it is? Man, it's so freeing. Good, it's freeing. It's freeing. You know how freeing it is to know that you don't have to carry the weight of the world? Like, oh my goodness. Like tomorrow morning, wake up in the morning and remind yourself, I don't actually have to figure out sin issues. I don't actually have to save the people that need saved. I don't have to do that. Man, God has already, like, you know, that's so freeing. And Daniel understood this. For us to not only survive, but to thrive, we need a greater perspective. An understanding that while we may not know what's happening around us or in us or to us, we may not even know what needs to be done. God does. He does. Yeah, life is going to be hard. We all know that. It's going to be exhausting at times. It's going to be frustrating. And it's not to diminish this. And what you might be facing, it may not have any end in sight. In fact, it may not end until you're with Jesus. I don't know. But God sustains in the meantime. He sustains. The struggle is beyond you and I. Thank God, He will prevail. And He will give us the strength we need, even if it's just the strength to just remain standing, just to stand firm. He will give us what we need in the meantime to navigate our personal and collective challenges together. Why don't you stand? And if you just bow your heads. Sometimes we hear again, like, we hear a message like this. And it talks about the reality of how evil exists and things are hard. And life is challenging and there's really no escaping that. It's a fascinating thing when you think about our lives. So much of our lives are filled with trying to make things better and improve and improve and improve or whatever it looks like there. And yet there is no escaping. The challenges that come with living on this earth. To a degree, you just can't get away. And maybe that can be discouraging, but I want you to again be encouraged to know that God will prevail. He will prevail in the ultimate sense, and He may very well prevail in the thing you're facing right now. He may provide you with a way out. God is bigger than big, and He's closer than close. He cares about you. And in this battle against this battle of good and evil, this battle against darkness, my prayer is that we would have a greater understanding that that's where the fight is. And that the things that we're facing, they are important, and yet there is more. So throughout this week, would your prayer life be strengthened? Take time this week. Be in God's presence. The things that you're facing, continue to give them to God. Do it every single day, multiple times. And I can't guarantee you anything that you are expecting will happen, but I can guarantee you God hears your prayers. He loves you. And He wants what's best for you. And so, Lord, I thank You that this morning, Lord, as we just take a very, very simple look at what's happening here, knowing that evil is real. That the enemy wants to get us. That there is a battle that is beyond what we see, and yet You will prevail. You are greater. Remind us that this morning, in the midst of the things that we're facing, the challenges, the struggles, all of that, You are greater. You know what's best. Help us once again to just remove the burden of feeling like, man, we got to figure everything out. You've already got it taken care of. So help us to trust in you, to lean into you, to be sensitive to your voice and your leading. And so God, this morning, as we close with this song, I know that there are going to be things that people have walked in this building with that we will leave with. There are challenges that will not necessarily, those things aren't going to go away just in these next 2 minutes. But I do pray that in these moments, we would encounter your comfort, your hope, your love, your joy, and your grace. That's why we do this, is to be with you, to honor you. And so we thank you, Lord. Minister to us just as you have been. In your name, amen.